From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with the latest. It's been almost a month since Juneau's school board voted to require Juneau School District employees to get weekly COVID-19 tests. The mandate was supposed to go into effect no later than October 4th. On Tuesday, KTOO's Bridget Dowd sat down with Juneau School's Superintendent Bridget Weiss to get an update.
All right, so last time we talked, the district was gathering vaccine and exemption information to figure out how many employees would be required to test because only unvaccinated employees or those who hadn't contracted COVID in the last 90 days are required to do it. You are also working on expanding the number of testing sites you had available because in the past, the district had offered voluntary testing for staff members. I know you had intended to start the required weekly testing by last week. So has it been officially implemented yet? And if so, how is it going?
So we started out at a couple of sites and then three sites. And now we have testing 5 days a week. We have a morning session, an afternoon session, and it's spread out at 10 different sites. And so we've increased the access to testing to make it as user-friendly as possible for our staff. The other thing that we have done is we had to survey our staff to determine vaccine status. And we had not done that formally before. We still have some staff that haven't done that yet. So this week we're hitting that real hard. But we do have just shy of 600 employees who have completed the process to let us know their vaccination status. Of those people who have done that, 92% are vaccinated. We still have, though, about 100 who haven't completed the survey yet. Then the other way to opt out of required weekly testing is if they've had COVID in the last 90 days. So we have some staff that have had COVID recently. So with all that said, up to this point, with 600 or so reporting, we have about 40 staff members who are going to be required to test and are required to test at this point.
So for those 40, the requirement is already in place and they already have to do their weekly testing. But for those 100 or so employees who haven't filled it out yet, are they being required to test until they provide their information or how does that work?
Correct. That's kind of what we're getting at this week. We have to make sure that we've given everybody enough support in doing it. And then we're going to reach out to their supervisors, have them check with them. And really they have that choice. They can complete the survey or test. Or both, depending on their status, of course. But yes, if they haven't completed the process, then we will be expecting them to test. How many of those 100 maybe don't want to do it or just didn't get a chance to do it, didn't have time or didn't know how to do it? I don't know yet. Next week, I'll know how much trouble we're getting the last little bit of that survey done.
And have you had anyone thus far, maybe of those 40 people who have just decided they don't want to share their vaccine status?
I have had a couple people share that with me. You know, we're a subset of our community. So every perspective that exists in our community is going to exist somewhere in our 700 staff. And, you know, we're doing this as respectfully as possible. There is no judgment involved. There are many different reasons somebody might not be vaccinated. We are right now keeping our testing sites open for people who voluntarily want to test, who are vaccinated, but still want to test. And we're going to keep that going as much as we can, depending on capacity, once we get to the end of this whole survey piece. So when people go to our sites to test, nobody knows whether they're vaccinated or not. We think that's pretty supportive to people and not feeling pointed out or judged.
Shifting gears a little bit, obviously there's been some talk recently about moving forward with COVID-19 vaccines for children 5 and up. Does the district have a plan in place for when COVID-19 shots are available to that age group as far as setting up vaccine clinics for them?
Yeah, we're so excited by that news. And we are working closely with CBJ and Juneau Public Health. We've done this all along. At every stage of vaccine, we have planned in advance and been ready and prepared. As soon as the vaccine was available and the approval was there, we were ready to launch opportunities. And so we're doing that again. Because these are littler ones, we want to be very conscientious about parent involvement and opportunity. And so we're looking at how we can do these a little bit differently than we've done before so that we are, you know, most supportive of families being with their kids and where we might do that. We're still in the planning stages. it looks like this vaccine is a little bit different dose than the adult dose. And so I don't know if that's going to slow things up at all once they get approval, if we'll have to wait for certain doses to show up. But we've got it down so that we really know what works well and what doesn't. So we're going to be ready to make that opportunity available at the very first chance we can.
And the last time we spoke, you also mentioned that you were working on a plan to increase testing among students. Do you have any more information on that yet?
We are still designing and looking. We want to focus on our elementary students because that is where we are seeing the most COVID, for good reason. They're our unvaccinated population. And therefore, because they're unvaccinated, we're having to quarantine a lot of students. So we're just looking at those combination of things and how can we be most strategic at elementary, again, with parent permission, but anyway, we can use that as well as some other strategies, increase screening, as an example, to start reducing those quarantine numbers. So that's kind of where our heads are at right now in the planning, but I'm hoping by next Tuesday, I'll have a more distinct plan to share.
All right. That's Juneau School District Superintendent Bridget Weiss. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Bridget. Bye-bye.
Beleaguered business owners and families separated by COVID-19 are celebrating after the Biden administration says it will reopen U.S. land borders to non-essential travel next month. The ban has had an enormous economic, social, and cultural impact, preventing cross-border shopping and family gatherings when relatives live on different sides of the border. Juneau Public Libraries has picked An American Sunrise by Joy Harjo for its Big Read program. It's a kind of community-wide book club. The launch event at the Juneau Douglas City Museum featured samples of Harjo's poetry read out loud and one of the last chances to view the Echoes of War exhibit about the internment camp at Funter Bay. KTOO's Shelley Delaney has this story.
A storm raged outside, but it didn't stop determined, dripping patrons from tromping into the City Museum. Kira Cook was one of the first to arrive.
I've read Joy Harjo before, and I was really interested in what her new book of poetry, and I'm interested in reading more of that. And then just, I've never been to the City Museum because of COVID and the pandemic, so I thought this was a great way to get some Joy Harjo in, but also visit a place I haven't been.
Because of the pandemic, the museum wanted to avoid gathering people inside to hear readings of Harjo's poetry. Instead, they created a soundscape of her poems to play on a loop through the overhead speakers. Harjo is the first Native American U.S. Poet Laureate.
To our home place from which we were stolen in these smoky green hills. Yes.
That's the voice of Juneau-based author Ernestine Hayes. The soundscape featured 22 recordings of poems from An American Sunrise, recited aloud by local writers, actors, and artists.
Hi, my name is Zenazun, Jerdolan Suuza, Tlegu Hutanislan, Natali Den Hutanislan Listo. Hi, I'm Jared Olin. I'm Koikan Athabaskan, and I'm from Galena, Alaska.
Jared Olin is an actor who is currently doing an artistic apprenticeship at Perseverance Theater. He recorded a reading of the poem Beyond in Harjo's native language of Muskogee.
I took a course on her native language. My native language is Danaka, and that's of the Koikan Athabaskan people. And we have the same pronunciations. We have the same like sounds in our languages.
The soundscape of An American Sunrise was not only a celebration of Harjo's poetry, it was also meant to augment the exhibit Echoes of War, Onaga Internment During World War II, now in its final days at the City Museum. Echoes of War told the largely ignored story of the Onaga people who were forcibly removed from the Pribilof Islands and interred at Funter Bay in southeast Alaska from 1942 to 1944. The poems and the exhibit both spotlight the history of forced displacement of Native people.
I just caught the tail end of a poem that was speaking to these green hills, which reminded me of, you know, just like our rainy landscape here, thinking about how foreign that could have been to Onongan people who were displaced here or relocated here.
Jonas Lamb teaches English at the University of Alaska Southeast. He joined the library's effort in order to introduce his first-year students to Harjo's poetry, as well as the history of the Onaga internment.
Yeah, Harjo's work really explores this idea of just being dispossessed of your land and of your culture and of the place that you draw strength.
Free copies of An American Sunrise are available at all three locations of Juneau Public Libraries. The audiobook can be checked out on the library's mobile app as well. It's read by the author herself. The last day to view the Echoes of War exhibit at the City Museum is Saturday, October 16th. In Juneau, I'm Shelley Delaney.